Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to episode 402 of Japan Top 10. This is a cultures episode, number 27, a clue about Japanese crime.
Ooh.
I'm your host, Edward.
And this is Tassie. Who?
Ooh. Let's get into it. Japan Top 10.
Before we start our episode, we have some announcements. November is Listener Appreciation Month. Get your song requests in at our website at jtop10.jp. Remember, in Listener Appreciation Months, we bring you Premium Platinum Patreon episodes for all of our listeners to listen to.
So check it out. Want to advertise on our podcast? Market your brand onto one of the world's most popular Japanese cultural-based podcasts. Reach up to potentially 70,000 listeners around the world on a weekly basis with advertising costs that will fit your company's budget. Find the full details at jtop10.jp to find out an advertising plan that will suit your company's needs.
Have you ever thought of joining our team? You want to work with me and Edward?
Yeah, you do.
Well, we currently have some openings for our audio and editor content distributor. Join our biggest and best Japanese music-based podcast out there. Check out our website at jtop10.jp/join for details.
And if you are enjoying this cultures episode, remember, you can receive the full version of this episode by becoming a Patreon donor. Just starting at $1. Plus, you'll receive this episode without any announcements or interruptions. Just commentary and music. So check out the website at jtop10.jp/club for more details.
Yeah.
So today, like I mentioned at the top of the episode, we are talking about crime in Japan.
I like how we're so excited to talk about crime. It should be kind of like...
Should be serious business, you're right.
Yeah, but I'm excited. I like listening to crime or talking about crime.
I do too. I don't know. It's a little, there's a couple of podcasts I listen to about true crime. Shout out to any murderinos out there listening for my favorite murder. But it's a great podcast. Check it out. Anyway, there's something kind of oddly satisfying about talking about and listening to true crime because it makes you puts you in the mind of the killer, obviously, which, you know, that's always a fun time. But also it's good to it's really good to know what to look out for and to be safe and not get murdered.
Anywho, just a little warning, of course we're talking about crime, but in this following podcast it's going to be containing true crime stories of violent nature. Listener discretion is advised.
So, while Japan is known as one of the safest places in the world, a place where people often sleep on trains, allow very young children to travel home alone, and often leave their belongings, including their phones, in open view, it is not a place without crime. Putting their imminent threat of earthquakes aside, from theft to fraud, assault, and of course, murder, Japan is not always such a safe place to be. Actually, my father says this all the time, and he's right. He always says, locks are for honest people. Which is true, because you really wanted to get in somewhere, you could easily just break the lock and get in, right?
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, I know. A little depressing in a way.
Very true. Anywho, these are a few crimes in Japan that they are renowned for, such as there's a growing number of scammers targeting its aging population. Japanese trains for being a place with disturbingly high risk of sexual harassment. And though theft is not common in Japan, umbrellas, bikes, and underwear theft, though 50% of the stolen bikes are recovered by the police.
It's actually very interesting about the train situation, because I remember when I was in Japan 2014, and I want to go back very soon, but being there, I remember there were signs posted of being like, sexual harassment is not okay on trains, and I'm like,
yeah.
Shouldn't have that been a thing a long time ago? But, I mean, obviously the cultural idea behind sexual harassment and standing up for oneself and not letting things happen it's something that takes time to permeate the culture. I mean, that even happens here in the West. I mean, look at the Me Too movement, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, I've lived in Japan for a year, and, like, I always, like, remember, like, my perception before living there, I always knew, like, oh, it's very safe in Japan type of thing, right? But I didn't think that there would be such a big, like, theft thing problem in Japan in regards to, like, bikes and stuff. So, like, when I bought my second hand bike, one fun fact is you have to get your bike license under your name.
Ah.
Yeah, because sometimes police will actually stop you on, like, when you're riding and ask to see your registration sticker on your bike. And then from there, they can, like, link it up to their phones and then they can see if you're actually the owner or not.
That's super cool. I wish we had that in the West because people steal bikes all the time here in Toronto. Or more actually, they don't steal bikes straight up. What they'll do is they'll just take out, like, the wheels or stuff like that, or bike chains, and they, you know, go and do whatever they're going to do with that stuff. They don't actually take the bike proper. But to register a bike, that's smart.
Right? Yeah. But it's like, it's kind of, like, annoying in a sense because, like, well, for a Japanese person, it's quite easy. But, you know, for a gaijin like me, like, just to, like, say you want to sell the bike later, it's kind of, it's quite annoying to, like, get your registration to change to the other person's name as well if you have, like, limited, like, Japanese knowledge. But there's, like, some cases of, like, my housemates before where they bought a secondhand bike and I guess they never got to register their bike, so their bike was still under the name of the previous goodness. Owner. And yeah, and the police had to call the previous owner to, like,
wow,
you know, clarify that it was their bike now.
That's very funny. Well, I guess it pays. They're doing their due diligence, yeah. So that's great, honestly. Blamed on the country's large, often aggressive crows, missing underwear, and also have been stolen by some other shady characters. Oh, boy. A 56-year-old man in Oita Prefecture was arrested for stealing 730 items of women's underwear.
Oh, gosh.
That's a lot. Oh, boy. Mm. In 2020, a couple in their 20s were arrested for stealing 34 items of female underwear from a 37-year-old male. Okay. It's not known if the male was a designer, drag queen, or just preferred female underwear. Hashtag clothing has no gender, which absolutely.
That's true.
The couple's been targeting women, admitting the crime to police, who later found over 170 pieces of stolen underwear in their flat. Hmm. But here's the thing. I guess, well, the whole idea of theft, I guess it's part of the thrill, right? Is stealing someone else's used underwear. Like, that happens in, like, locker rooms and stuff, and it gets fetishized in, like, pornography and whatever. It's like a whole thing. So
yeah.
I do, I understand that. But at the same time, also, like, you can buy used panties in Japan.
Yeah.
I was in the store.
In, like, gachapon.
Exactly. Seikai. Like, you're so right. It's true. And so I'm like, why would you steal it? But I guess maybe they don't have the money or maybe they're embarrassed. Who knows, right? People have a million reasons why people would steal.
I know.
Man.
I guess it's just a thrill. And and it's probably linked to something with, like, mentally, their mental health too. And mental health in Japan is quite a taboo subject for many people. Mm-hmm. So that could be a thing as well.
Mm.
But I feel like Japan has a lot of outlets to satisfy someone's needs and urges.
That's true.
In the more, like, the more safe way, not the petty way to do it. But
good use of the word petty.
Yeah.
That's true.
Anywho. our next point is, while these cases labeled larceny or petty theft, it is quite disturbing that they have been cases in Japan involving larger financial gains. For example, December 10th of 1968 in Tokyo, an unsolved case dubbed the 300 million yen robbery took place. The money was stolen in broad daylight from a vehicle guarded by four security staff, transporting bonuses for Toshiba factory workers by one male on a police motorcycle. He stated that their branch managers home had been blown up and police had received a warning that dynamite had been placed under their vehicle. Using fireworks to create smoke, he made them abandon the vehicle before making off with it and the money.
Ooh. Okay, I gotta say, that is crafty.
Very.
That's pretty good. I'm, you know, hats off. Actually, this kind of reminds me. White collar crime, I guess, actually, in Japan. Does it remind you of something?
I was thinking of, I don't know if you're, if you recognize American crimes, but there's like this really big jewelry heist. I think it's called heist. But anyways, this happened, I think, like 20 or 30 years ago, and it's considered to be the biggest jewelry robbery in American history. And I think they're called the Pink Panthers. They did some tricks here and there, and they were able to rack up, I forgot how much money it was. It's like it was in the millions of some sorts, but it was like diamonds.
Jeez, that's amazing. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's also probably, well, I can't remember what case it was that inspired Ocean's 8 or Ocean's 7 or Ocean's 11 or Ocean's 12 or any of those ones. But I mean, heists are very popular, but you don't actually ever hear about them quite as often in the media. But yeah, I'll have to look that one up later. That sounds very interesting. So although Japan has a conviction rate of around 99%, once a case gets to court, like most countries, statistics on crime, such as report of sexual assault, have to have been viewed with some caution, as they are often much lower than the true number due to the stigma of reporting cases, them being ignored, or simply undiscovered. This is a very, very sad truth. This is also very true in Canada and probably the US as well. Like, there's just backlogs of rape kits, and also lots of cases like that where victims aren't believed, and it's like a whole thing. We could spend a whole podcast episode just on that, honestly. So in 2019, per 100,000 people, there were only 0.99 cases, that's less than 1%, of sexual assault officially reported in Japan, compared to 51.4% in England and Wales, and 38.55 cases in the United States. And despite ranking one of the safest countries for homicides in 2021, with just 0.28% of homicide cases per 100,000 people, compared to South Africa's 33.92%, USA's 5.35%, Philippines 11.02%, and UK's 1.2%, from sodium cyanide-laced oolong tea and cola to subway sarin attacks, there have been some notoriously shocking criminal cases within the country's borders. So, yeah, even though the number is small, the damage and the what crime it was is quite mighty. It's the same thing with how guns are outlawed in Japan, but like stabbings, suicides, and all that stuff are still very, they're just more, a little bit more rampant, right? Because they don't have the means to access guns.
Yeah. Right? It's unfortunate. So, it's like, I know that recently there's been movements to try to change the stigma of sexual assault victims, but we have a very long way to go to do justice for them.
Everywhere does.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Unfortunately, for real life detectives, there aren't always clues strong enough to stop the bad guys from getting away with horrible crimes, which is probably why crime fiction is such a popular escape around the world. One example in Japan that inspired many crime anime is Honkaku, mystery detective novels first published in the 1920s that contain clever puzzle scenarios with all the clues set out for the reader. In the opening chapter of Yukito Ayatsuji's The Decagon House Murders, one character remarks, "Enough gritty realism, please. What mystery novels need are a great detective, a mansion, a shady cast of residents, bloody murder, impossible crimes, and never-before-seen tricks played by the murderer."
Aw, I gotta admit, I do love reading a crime novel or mystery novel just to try and figure things out. I do love a good puzzle. And yeah, funny enough, though, have you ever played like those video games that are like that? Like, I guess Phoenix Wright isn't quite so much like that, but it kind of is. But you got Phoenix Wright, Professor Layton, I guess, isn't really about a murder, but kind of. Well, I mean, there's puzzles. Do you like that kind of stuff?
I've never played it, but I've seen my friends raving about it. I'm more of a the type of person who likes watching like true crime documentaries and such.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And then, of course, a podcast here and there, but I'm more a visual person. So I like the storytelling of seeing like the different, like, you know, like the stupid reenactments of like the actors. And sometimes it's really bad. Yeah, that's like what I like.
Yes, I love those. They're so good. Or if you're in Japan or in China and you've got like the 3D reenactments that are like computer animated.
I know what you're talking about. I like watching those. Like, I'm not much of a person who watches like the mystery of like, you know, like a dramatization of like whatnot. I do watch it time to time, but there's something much more interesting and it clicks more into my mind when I know that that happened to someone before. So
absolutely. Yeah, a real, like, a true life story kind of a thing, or like how I survived kind of a situation.
Yeah, that type of situation.
Yeah, those are good. Yes. All right. So now Tassie Chan and I are going to play a quiz, and I will be the quiz master, and Tassie will be the quiz answerer.
Yeah.
Something like that. All right.
Okay.
So the quiz is, I almost kind of wish that we would have sent you over like a, if podcasting was a visual medium, we could have like made little signs for you or something. That would have been so cute.
I know, I wish.
Maybe on our YouTube channel, which might be coming soon. Just saying.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right. Here's the quiz. Conan or Arthur Conan? So the 56 short stories and 4 novels written by Arthur Conan Doyle, who wrote Sherlock Holmes, has also inspired many Japanese crime and mystery writers, perhaps none more so than Detective Conan, who has surpassed Holmes a little with 980 episodes and counting.
Yeah, Conan has been, it's still airing still, and the manga's not done
yet. Yeah, probably. Are you familiar? You're familiar with Conan then, right?
I am. Conan is like one of those type of things where you need to watch the beginning, and then afterwards, like, you can jump in whenever because it's just it's just different crimes. And then, like, when you find out on the internet there's something different in the story, in terms of story-wise, you go back into it and you're like, oh, this happens. And then it goes back to, like, crime again.
Ah!
You know, like Doctor Who?
I love that.
Yeah, like, it's like something like that.
Totally. Yeah, you have to, like, look it up on Reddit now. But there must be a Conan Reddit of all this stuff being like, actually, it was like this. That's very funny. Oh, man. All right. So here's the quiz game. Tassie is going to figure out which of these titles belongs to the master of logic and astute observation, Conan, and which of these belongs to Sherlock Holmes. Sherlock Holmes? Wow. Here we go. Are you ready, Tassie?
I'm ready.
Okay. Let's do this. So first title, The Coded Map of the City Case. Do we think it's a Conan or a Holmes?
Okay, this is my reasoning. So, Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, his stories are very, very old. The man died a long time ago. So I'm thinking that his stories can't be that elaborate compared to Conan, because Conan is still airing. I say, okay, Coded Map of the City's Case.
City Case, yeah.
City Case. Oh, okay. I want to say it's Conan, but, you know, I can't judge a person back in the few hundred years ago or 100 years ago, like, that he's capable of getting a map of the city as well.
Yeah, it's true. They did have, like, not codexes. There's a certain word I'm thinking of. You know, it was like, oh, wow.
I'm like,
anyway, what do you think? Okay. Final answer.
My final answer. Okay, I say homes.
Ah, okay. Interesting. You were actually right the first time. It is actually Conan.
Damn it.
I know. It was, and even stranger too, it was in season one, episode 4 of Conan. It was like early Conan.
Okay, now I'm very sad because I probably watched that as a kid. Okay, never mind.
Okay, it's okay. We got like, not like we're keeping score, so it's all good. Okay. All right, here we go. Number 2, The Adventure of the Cardboard Box. Not to be confused with like Solid Snake or Metal Gear Solid, because we know how much he loves a cardboard box. Yes.
A cardboard box?
The Adventure of the Cardboard Box. Which actually sounds like a kid's novel more than anything, to be honest.
I say homes because I think there's a cardboard box in back in the day.
Yes, the cardboard boxes, they tend to exist.
You're okay, okay, cool.
And you're right. Yay. So.
Yay.
So The Adventure of the Cardboard Box was from the memoirs of Sherlock Holmes, which is written in 1893. So there you go. Even back in 1893, they had cardboard boxes. You did it. All right. Number 3. A Case of Identity.
That's so vague.
I know, right? It could be
case
anything.
Of identity. It's like identity crisis or what? Identity theft?
It's just a case of that's all I got. Just a case of identity. It's true. You're missing a bunch of words.
Okay, I'm going to say Conan because I said Holmes last time.
Okay, actually, this one is Holmes. So, yeah. I know. It's the third story in The Adventures of Sherlock Holmes, published in 1891.
Okay.
But, I mean, you think he would have... Yeah, he should have put in more words. It's a little lacking. I can see why you would have guessed, like, Conan, probably. Because you're like, in the future, or in more recent times, more opportunities for identity theft and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Whereas, I don't know, 1891, it's like, you stole my paper that had my name on it. How dare you?
Exactly.
Like, there isn't a lot of options. Number 4. The Man Who Was Killed 4 Times. Huh.
Okay. This one's sounds very outrageous. So I'm going to say Conan.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay.
Yay. It was actually the 175th episode of Detective Conan. Big deal.
Wow. Very specific.
Very specific. Yes. Right. Last one. Number 5. The Adventure of the Solitary Cyclist.
Solitary.
Just him as a cyclist. Exactly. I'm like, that sounds like a Professor Layton thing, honestly. But The Adventure of the Solitary Cyclist. I would assume the cyclist is alone. I mean, it's a bicycle. Well, that's not a tandem bicycle. Though they had that back in the day. I don't know. Sorry, it's not helping your thoughts. Go ahead. What are you thinking? What's your motivation?
I think it's Holmes because Conan, I would think they would be using a car instead of a bicycle. Something more elaborate.
Know. That's fancy. True. Yeah. Okay. You're right.
You're
correct, actually. Yeah.
Yay!
Yeah. So from the return of Sherlock Holmes in 1905, that's when this was from. So you're right.
Oh, yay.
Yeah. All right. You did it.
Oh, yay.
So our final song of the episode is from Ling Tosite Sigure, Abnormalize, released in 2013.
Maybe me.
Abnormalized was used as the theme to the hit science fiction crime anime Psycho Pass.
Link Toshida Sigure are a progressive J-rock trio formed in 2002 in Saitama Prefecture. On April 18, 2019, the band released their digital single Laser Beamer, written for the first ever stage adaptation of Psycho Pass Virtue and Vice, which was followed in the January 2021 by Perfect Perfect, inspired by the second stage adaptation Psycho Pass Virtue and Vice 2.
Okay, I just had looked this up because I wanted to see if I was right. I have played, Psycho Pass also was an anime, or not anime, it's also a visual novel slash game that was released on PS4. And I have played a bit of that. It was actually pretty interesting. So if you're into the visual novel horror-y crime kind of game, go check it out. It's on PS4 and probably PS5. So there you go. Psycho Pass.
Yeah, I believe it's a monk. I believe it's an anime as well, and I've heard great things about it, but I've never got to watch it. But I heard it's great. So
yeah. I mean, well, if anything has turned into a stage adaptation, then you know it's made it, obviously.
Oh, I wish we were able to speak more about the crimes, but it was so much fun. Unfortunately, well, hopefully maybe we can do more in the future because there's more crimes to talk about. But anywho, if you have any information related to a criminal case, either those mentioned in our episode or not, please contact Crime Stoppers. And if you would like to help support cold cases, please check out coldcasefoundation.org, who are the resource for homicide, missing person, unidentified bodies, and sexual assault cold cases. Anyways, good night, and please don't have nightmares.
Ooh. Yes. So, if you are a premium star or premium platinum donor, we have an exclusive episode to bring you more on culture's discussion on traveling around Japan, hosted by Haru and me, Edward, next week. Yay! Actually, fun fact, as we're recording this, I'm going to record that episode later on today. I'm a busy man. So, So for everyone else, Ethel is back with our newest host, Shanna, to bring you our first Listener Appreciation of the Month episode, which is November, featuring...
Yay!
Yes, Shanna, we're so happy to have you. It's featuring an Artist of the Month episode all on the Japanese band Spitz.
Oh,
they've
fun!
They've featured a lot on our podcast, actually. They'll see you a little more than a week from now. So thank you so much for joining us. I'm your host, Edward.
And this was Tassie.
Bye. Don't have any nightmares.
Yay.
Bye.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.